Well, welcome back to the third episode of season one of Take a Sip with Rob and Tanya. I'm Rob.
I'm Tanya. All cheers, right. Babe.
Cheers, baby.
Clink, clink, clink.
You can't hear our clink, but it was there. So we've had an interesting week here. Lots of changes going along at the Rob and Tanya house, but it's very exciting.
Yes.
So we won't get into all of those right now, but we have a topic for today, which I guess is fairly topical because there's something going around TikTok and social media.
Yeah, lots of talk about this.
And I think we're both uniquely situated to have certain opinions and observations on this topic.
I agree with that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So the topic kind of is about transracial adoption, primarily. So we'll set the stage for it, babe.
Yes. So I guess it was a UFC fighter that came on TikTok, and basically he said that he's not raising black children, he's raising children.
Exactly.
Right?
So I have the clip. We're just going to play a tiny part of it. So this guy's name is Michael Chandler. I understand he's a UFC fighter. He's married. And I think he has two children, both of whom are black. And so this was in part what he had to say about that.
I'm not raising black children. I'm raising children. And whether you are black or you are white, no matter what race that you are, there are certain things about being a man and being a good man when it comes to character and integrity and safeguarding the helpless and sticking up for those who need it.
So that was in part what he said. He went on to say something about being colorblind and focusing much more on everything except acknowledging or addressing the racial component of his adoption of his family.
Yeah.
Okay. And then in response to that, we have another content creator on TikTok who did kind of a response video. And this is a portion of what she said. Now, her handle on TikTok is LLSW Anderson. I want to make sure I give her credit. We're going to play part of this to create some context, because I think a lot of people who have been stitching this or responding to it have not been really responding to what she was addressing.
No.
So the first part, well, let's let it play and then we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Why do white people adopt black children? It's a real question for me. Why do white people adopt black children and then say things like, I'm not raising black children, I'm raising children?
So the first part in there was, why do white people adopt black children? And a lot of people just took that clip and ran with it and responded to it, which was not really her point. I watched her whole video. She was not saying white people should absolutely not adopt black children. She was responding to people like this Michael Chandler who adopt black children, but have this mindset of race isn't important. I'm not going to address that. I'm colorblind. I'm raising children, not black children. And again, we're talking about specifically in America because that's where we have context and that's where we understand how things work.
Right.
So her point was not, and this has been frustrating when watching all these responses, it wasn't white people should absolutely not adopt black children. She said, why do they adopt black children? And I'm paraphrasing here, but if you're not going to then address the nuances and the specifics of transracial adoption and the of what these children are going to encounter when they walk out of your house.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
That's fair. I think in America, there's no way you can just say that you're raising children if you're raising black kids. You can't say that when you're in America.
Yeah.
Because, especially black boys. And I think to just be naive and be like, no, I'm just raising children. That's dumb, I think.
Agreed.
I mean, I know that's a vicious response, but I just think that's dumb to think that in America. You can't think that in America.
You absolutely can't. So, I mean, I think you and I both agree that she makes a valid point.
Yeah.
Which is, if you're going to step into that arena, be ready for that arena.
Exactly. But make no mistake, I'm not saying white people should not adopt a black children. That is not what you're hearing from me. I'm saying if you're going to do that, then you should be a responsible parent and realize that you need to do a little extra work and teach them about black issues and being black in America.
Right. No, absolutely. Well, and I guess for those folks who don't know, obviously you, all of us here, come to this from a bit of a unique perspective, but also one that, you know, we've been in this game for a while. So for those who don't know, I and my ex adopted our daughters, who are now 21 and 19. They're both black African-American kids from Texas, adopted through Texas CPS. We trying to think of the timing. We got Satori, my oldest, was born in 2002. We got her in August of 2003. She had just turned one.
Mm-hmm.
And then the following year, we found out that the same parents had had another child. Long story short, my ex and I adopted two black children. And we've been, again, been in this, doing this parenting thing since 2003. And I do want to address just kind of how that happened or why that happened.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't intentional. It wasn't the goal to adopt black children. I think that's odd and problematic when people set out in or seek to adopt children of a particular race or ethnicity,
mm-hmm.
because I don't understand why you would do that.
Yeah.
For us, when working with Texas CPS, you can make things as broad or as narrow as you want. You can say, you can set no perimeters, or you can say, like we did, on issues of race, we just said it doesn't matter. Whatever, wherever the need is, wherever our other specifics that we are looking for. So at the time, my ex in particular, she wanted a girl. We already had a boy, and she wanted to have a girl, preferably between the ages of 0 and 2. Mm-hmm. So we were looking for a baby girl, but mm-hmm. not race specific. But we were able to include or exclude a lot of things, particularly when it came to health issues. We set out, one of the limits we did set was, you know, significant health issues. We kind of opted out of that.
Yeah.
You know, for feeding tubes. We didn't, you know, things like that. HIV babies, God bless them. You know, that's a challenge that we weren't sure if we were ready to handle.
Yeah.
So there were limitations we could put, and we did put on mm-hmm. some of the parameters. But race was one where we just said, there's no limitations. We don't have a preference.
Yeah, it didn't matter.
And so that's who we got matched with. And then once we got matched with Tori, the older child, then when her sister became available, they called us first.
Yeah.
And
to
so
try
we ultimately,
to keep them together.
Right, because they're biological sisters. So that's how that came about. I do like to say that just up front so there's no misconceptions as to, you know, did we go somewhere specifically trying to save a black child, which again, I think would be weird.
No, that's fair.
So,
that's fair.
But when we did that, you know, we had some friends. We always, you know, had black friends, and we had a couple in particular around that time who were very intent on making sure we understood you can't just step into this without also agreeing to do the work, without agreeing to provide, you know, educational stuff. Well, they're going to be raised in a household that's not black. They are going to walk out of your house and be black. And so it's important that you got to recognize that. You need to learn how to do their hair. You need to learn how to, you know, make sure that they're not losing something by growing up in your house.
Yeah, I mean, there's just lots of things that you just have to get educated on. As an influencer, I'm like, if you're going to take pictures of them, make sure you're in some light and you use flash, okay? I am so tired of seeing, like, I'm telling you, I will see, like, an interracial family and they have beautiful black daughters. I can't see them in the photos.
Yeah.
Like, that literally makes me so mad. Because you just have to educate yourself on that.
Yeah.
You know, anyway, I'm getting off on a different topic, but.
Yeah. But you're not wrong. And we did have to deal with that on occasions. And I thought, you know, while I wasn't blind walking into this, I thought I was thankful for the help and the input of those friends at the time, because it was certainly an affirmation and a reminder not to take this lightly.
Well, I think even like, with you guys, I think I remember you even saying, like, your ex was like, why do they have to be, like, African-American? Why can't they just be American?
Yeah.
I live in America, that's why.
Yeah, I mean, one could make an argument that my ex probably wasn't a person who should have adopted black children.
She is not. Yeah, I will say that loudly and proudly. Well, and it's just because I think she was naive to a lot of things, but she was also not wanting to learn a lot of things. Mm-hmm. That's where you get me all revved up, when you're not even willing to learn.
Right. And Lord knows, look, parenting is hard. Parenting in general is hard. Parents make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
When you opt into transracial adoption, it's just it's another set of things that you need to understand, work on.
Of course.
And so, you know, I'm the first one to admit, as a parent, in a lot of regards, I made a lot of mistakes along the way. But as far as the issues incumbent in transracial adoption, I tried to do the work. I tried to be open. I tried to engage with these things and to, you know, do the best job I could to make sure that, yeah, they didn't walk out of my house and get surprised by a lot of things in our society here in America.
Yeah, and I think that's even more so important for raising black boys. You know, like, shoot, we've seen the police with black men. Mm-hmm. Like, they oftentimes feel threatened. And God forbid if you have a great, you know, black male who's over 6 feet, you know, maybe he has an, oh God, if he has an athletic body, mm-hmm. he could stop by the cop. He's already, like, judged, like, this guy is going to be aggressive, right? And so I think, like, you just need to, especially with black boys, you need to educate them on how to deal with the police. Unfortunately, you do, because this is America.
Right.
You have to educate them on how to deal with the police. Also, how to handle racism. Mm-hmm. Because without a doubt, if they're living in America, they are going to experience racism on some level mm-hmm. at some time in their life.
Right. And that's one thing we learn, especially from black celebrities, that... And we get reminders periodically that doesn't matter how wealthy you are, how famous you are,
mm-hmm.
every once in a while, you're just going to get treated like a black guy in America.
Of course.
And
yeah.
so we've seen that with a lot of celebrity interactions.
That's never going to stop. Mm-mm. That's never going to stop.
And so the questions for this this Michael Chandler, you know, in some regards, not everything he says is wrong to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, children need love. Children need direction. Children need support. Of course, they all need that.
If I can just interject.
Yeah, of course.
I love that he said, I'm raising children.
Yeah.
I love that he's like, why do I have to like classify I'm raising black children?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
In a perfect world, sure. he would just be raising children.
Right, right.
So I love what he said, but realistically, that's not right.
Right.
Anyway, sorry to interrupt.
No. So you're right. So yeah, where I'm going though is that like, is he therefore not going to have these discussions about, hey, son, if you get stopped by a police officer, here are some things you might want to consider.
Right.
Here's the best way to handle that.
Yeah.
And while, yes, on the one hand, every child should be taught, you know, a police officer gives you an order, you should comply with it, all that
of
stuff.
Of course.
But to recognize that, I don't really know this Michael Chandler guy. He's a UFC fighter. I'm assuming he's financially well off.
Mm-hmm.
And let's make that assumption.
Yeah.
So if these kids are 18 and driving around certain parts of the country in a Lexus.
Yeah.
That's going to set off alarm bells for some police officers and some of the general public. And so they need to know that that's a thing. They need to know it's bullshit. It's not right.
Yeah.
But it's also the reality of what happens when you walk out the door.
Right.
That talk needs to happen, the talk about how you deal with police officers.
Right, right.
In a similar regard, I recently sent a video to my daughters, not to get too deep into it, but it's about the issue of healthcare as relates to black folks, especially black women, how oftentimes complaints are not taken seriously, are not addressed properly.
Oh, absolutely.
And so like they need to know this stuff.
That's been a thing.
Right.
Yeah.
When they go to the doctor, they need to know that if they don't feel like they're being heard, they're probably right.
Exactly.
That they, you know, this whole thing, you don't want to put, we want to trust our doctors. We want to trust they're doing the best they can. But the statistics don't lie.
But there's bad people in every profession, right? And doctors are no exception.
Sure.
So, yeah, you need to tune in to how they're treating you,
mm-hmm.
if you're being heard,
mm-hmm.
if you feel like you're being heard, if you feel like, I guarantee you, every person that's been discriminated against, even though the person didn't say, like, I hate black people, I hate y'all,
but,
even though they didn't say that, we felt it.
I don't doubt that. And I think that makes the point I was just about to make, which is these kids need to recognize that racism doesn't always come off as malicious.
Mm-hmm.
Like these doctors aren't going to be like, well, you're a black woman, so I'm not going to take your complaint seriously.
There you go.
In a medical context, it can just come off as dismissive.
Absolutely.
I have this abdominal pain. It's been here for 3 days. Oh, you'll be fine.
Oh, you're fine. Take some Tums. It's good.
Right.
You good.
Right. So when you're getting dismissed in a medical context, it doesn't have to be, I hate black people.
Absolutely.
It can be, I think you'll be fine. You can just go home.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
And so, but my girls.
But they need to know that.
Need to know that that's a thing because they need to at least question it when it comes around.
Absolutely.
Or, you know, we had an episode when my youngest was in middle school
mm-hmm.
where she was getting made fun of basically just for being black. You know,
yeah.
that was a horrible situation. We may address that more fully at some point in a later episode. But the point was, when this came up, there was an issue of racism. It was pretty ugly racism. I get a text from my daughter and she says, they're telling me I look like a gorilla when I use my phone. Is that racist? Now, again, she's 11 or 12. She knows it's racist, which is why she texted me. But she's asking me for like confirmation, for verification. And I remember I said,
mm-hmm.
wait, probably, what are we talking about? Like, I had no context. Yeah. I mean, obviously, that's a problem.
Yeah.
But I wanted to get context. So she told me what happened, and I just responded with, yes, that's racist. I will be at the school in an hour.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you want to, you got to educate your kids in that regard.
Yeah, of course.
To recognize the things that we can reasonably anticipate.
Yeah. And like you said, just to reiterate, this UFC fighter, we're not saying that he's not telling his kids that. Mm-hmm. I hope, we're saying we hope that he's telling his kids that. Hopefully, publicly, he's saying, I'm raising just, you know, children in America or whatever. And he's, you know, educating them on the back end. I hope he is.
Right.
But if he's not, that's a problem.
It's a huge problem.
Yeah.
And at some point, it's going to blow up.
It's going to blow up huge.
Yeah. And whether that's the kids aren't ready for a particular interaction. And again, you can't make your kids ready for every interaction they're going to have.
You cannot.
But you need to reasonably anticipate the ones that you can expect.
Absolutely.
And so either they're going to not be ready for an interaction, or they're going to go through life believing a certain set of rules and kind of a certain reality, because that's what they've been ingrained in their own home. But when they walk out into the world, whether it's high school or college or whenever this comes around, they're going to realize the reality that they've had instilled in them actually isn't the real reality.
Right. And I like the point that you said, even down to their hair. Right. Mm-hmm. Because I can remember being in school. I want to say maybe this was probably middle school. It was not high school and it wasn't elementary. So it had to be middle school. And these little black girls would come to school and their hair would be towed up. I think one day my friends saw that they had white parents. Mm. Every day they came to school, their hair looked a hot mess, a hot, fiery mess. All right. So I remember one of the girls saying, that's why whites shouldn't adopt like black kids, because they won't do their hair right.
Right.
I remember hearing that. So to that point, maybe they don't know how to do their hair. We're not saying you have to know how to do their hair. Right. But you at least, like, you do your hair before you leave the house. You know what I mean? Like, the mom does her hair. Mm-hmm. Why you going to send the girls out and their hair looks like crap?
Right.
So, like, I just think that that's something you kind of, like, have to educate yourself on. Like, because clearly you cannot use the same products you use on a white person's hair on a black person's hair to style. Mm-hmm. Most of the time you cannot.
Right.
Now, we've evolved, so maybe there are certain products that we both can use. But listen, you're raising a black girl and she has 4C hair. You can't use that whatever, you know, Garnier Nutrice mousse that you use on your hair on our hair. That's all I'm saying.
Can't use that Suave.
Yeah. I guess it was Suave back in the day, wasn't it?
It was cheap. I know I used that in college when I had to get shampoo. All right. So based on that, though, let's lighten the mood a little bit, because I want to tell my most embarrassing story.
Oh, please tell it. Please tell it. I love it. And I know what it is, and I'm so happy you're telling this right now.
Yeah,
it
flows from what you were talking about.
Oh, this is awesome.
This is
grab a drink, take a sip. Yeah, this one is good.
Yeah, this was the most embarrassing moment I can recall in adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
I think. I'm pretty confident.
So you and I, just to interject, you and I were probably dating, what, less than a year?
A year or so.
Oh, it was probably a year. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I thought it was maybe a little less than a year.
Well, I'm thinking it was either 2013 or 2014.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry. That's not important to the story. I'm just reminiscing.
But to this point, all right, so my most embarrassing moment as an adult involved my daughter's hair. So it's a summer. So we met in 12. So it's either summer of 13 or summer of 14.
Mm-hmm.
So they're roughly, let's say, 9 and 11, 10 and 12.
That's about right.
Somewhere around. They're middle school age.
Yeah.
All right. So I was getting the girls for, I was already divorced, and, you know, was getting my girls for summer visitation from my ex. And I think I got them around the 1st of July. I probably had them for the month of July.
Yeah.
All right. So I get them. We had planned just a little tour of Texas. So we live in the Austin area. We had planned to go to Houston for a couple days, go to San Antonio for a couple days, just do some fun stuff along the way. And our first stop was Houston. So I get the girls on whatever night it was, let's say a Sunday night, and they come to me, and they have box braids, which had been really nice, but they were at least 3 weeks past due. Like, they needed to be redone.
So can I interrupt?
Of course.
So, like, his ex thought she could basically keep their braids in for like 6 months and not do shit to them. and not do shit to him. I am not lying to you right now when I say this. I told him, I was like, there is no way you can keep those braids in for 6 months and not do anything right. to him. Right. So, okay, go ahead.
So, yeah, it became a battle. This isn't the point of the story. It became a bit of a battle between she and I where...
It became a huge battle.
Because I was paying her a lot of money. Yeah. A lot of money.
And she didn't want to pay to get their hair fixed.
Right. So I ended up paying
with
her a lot
of money.
Right. Yeah, I was paying a lot of money. And then as it turned out, I also would then have to pay additional money to get their hair done while they were with me.
Because she didn't want to use, she cried poverty. Oh, she didn't have enough money to get their hair done. Yeah.
So so they come to me, whatever night it was, and we're going to leave the next morning. We got reservations. They come to me and the hair is just past due.
Yeah.
And so I looked at them like, we already got reservations.
You don't
we got
have
plans.
Time to get it done.
We can't get an appointment and get it done before noon tomorrow.
No.
You know, because that's a process. So we make an appointment, but it's going to be when we get back. And part of me is like, all right, this kind of sucks, but it's just us. Just me and my girls. We're just going to go away for 4 or 5 days.
Yeah. Yeah.
We get back, we'll get the hair done. And, you know, God bless them. They can't help it. It's not their fault.
Yeah, for sure.
So they come to me. All right, so we go to Houston. And we're going to be in Houston for a couple days. We go to, I think it's the Omni. It was a nice hotel.
Oh, I went to
downtown.
A nice hotel.
It was nice. It was downtown. Because one of the things we were going to do, we were going to go to a baseball game, see the Astros play the Red Sox.
Now, yeah,
In fairness, that was for me. That was my little, I'm a Red Sox fan.
The girls wanted to see the Red Sox
fan. You know, they enjoy the ballpark. we were right downtown. It was a nice hotel. So I walk into the lobby, and I notice there's a lot of black women in this lobby. Why is there so many black women in the lobby? And I look at my kids, I'm like, oh, shit. Okay. Well, as it turns out, we had walked into the National Convention for Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Incorporated. And I was very familiar with the Deltas. I had a lot of Delta friends in college.
Oh, the Deltas there.
And which hurt my heart even more. Of all of the black sororities.
Out of all the ones, that was the one that was there. And then you sent me a text. What did your text say?
I think it said something like, I think you knew about the hair issue.
Yeah.
And I said, so, you know, the girl's hair is past due. I just walked into the National Delta Convention and I am feeling so put on blast and under the spotlight right now because no one is saying anything.
Yeah.
But I know what they're all thinking.
And I sent him a text. I said, oh, yeah, baby, they judging you. They judging you. They are basically saying, this is why white people shouldn't adopt black people. Children.
Right.
They are judging you for not getting their hair done. That's exactly what I sent him.
And unlike that TikTok we referenced at the top of the show, they weren't putting conditions on it. They were just saying white folks shouldn't adopt.
Oh, yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They just basically saying that. But I was like, ooh, all eyes are on you and they are judging your ass.
Yeah. So, and of course, you know, no one said anything.
You could feel all the eyes
burning
your bag.
No, yeah, I was.
Ooh,
I really just.
You.
I wanted to like have a sign, like just
it's
to
not
put
my
up.
Fault.
It's not my fault. I just got it last night. My ex won't get their hair done. Don't
it's
judge
not
me.
It's
I
not
didn't
my
do it.
Fault.
I don't deserve to be here. You got the wrong guy.
I wish you could have had a sign because that really was not your fault.
It wasn't my fault.
But did they go back home and you were talked about in home several homes.
I know. We're probably still talked about over Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you probably are. You probably are.
Anyway, so we had a lovely trip, but that was really an inauspicious start to our little adventure.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But that's how it came down. And, yeah, I mean, I was aware of the problem. I was well aware of the problem and well aware of all of it.
I'm sorry, since we're talking about hair, I'm going to throw in another little fun story that's near and dear to my heart. Mm.
I don't know what's about to come, but I'm ready.
Oh, he'll quickly realize what it is. Take a sip. It's a good one. So he ended up finding someone to do the girl's braids. So the girl, he laughing because he know what I'm about to say. So the girls, turns out they really liked braids. And honestly, anybody who knows, like has had braids, they are very easy, right? But you still have to maintain them. You have to wash them and take care of them. But if you do, like it can last a long time and save you some time.
Right, and they're great for kids at that age.
And they're great for kids at that age, right? So he ended up going to the driver's license place.
Nope. TxDOT. Passport.
Oh, I'm sorry, excuse me, passport. Thank you for correcting me.
Yep.
And this lady that was standing behind the desk had beautiful braids. Okay.
Very fresh. Very nicely done.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure she was bomb. So he says, excuse me, where do you get your braids done? And of course she side-eyed him now, like, excuse me.
Well,
you know?
She was young. She was maybe 20, 21.
So she's doing the right thing by side-eyeing him, you know? this old dude trying to pick me up. I don't think so, right? That's what she thinks.
That's kind
of
what I felt.
But he quickly like realized that and was like, no, no, no. And he showed her a picture of his girls and said he's looking for somebody to do their braids. She was so nice, yeah. Gave him the name of the lady. To this day, this lady does their braids. Like, she's amazing, yeah. Right? Okay, so he finds her, great, blah, blah, blah. Text the ex and was like, I found someone to do the girls' braids.
No, I said, I have someone who can do
that. Have someone who can do the girls' braids.
Yeah.
Okay? She texts back. Okay, is everybody listening? You there? Hello? She texts back, the girls don't want Tanya to do their hair.
Never said it.
She immediately assumed, since I was black, I was going to be doing the girls' hair. Now, let me just educate the viewers a little bit on Tanya and hair. Mm-mm. Hair is gross to me. I have a phobia with hair. That is not why my hair is short today. All right? Straighten it up. My hair is short by choice because it's easy for me and I like it. But I do not like hair. When I tell you, so my daughter's hair, my daughter's dad is white. So my daughter has very curly, very tight, tangly like hair. And it's very long. Always has been. I hated even doing her hair. She will tell you, Mama hates doing my hair. I hated doing her hair. I hate hair with a passion. So to hear her say, the girls don't want time to do her hair. I was like, oh my God, really? So my first thought was like, okay, you don't even know me. And then I was like, that's racist. Just because I'm black, I'm going to do the girl's hair. Yeah. So I felt some type of way about that, you know?
Which
like,
was fair.
And maybe that was unfair to feel that way. Maybe she didn't mean it like that. But that's the way I took it.
No, I think that was a absolutely fair way to take it. Because making that leap, like, I have someone to do their hair. And I guess a little bit more context. She would just find random black folks at her job. Either do it or they would hook her up with somebody else. Like, there wasn't continuity. And some of the people she was getting to do their hair, it was a disaster.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, they left bloody a couple times. Yeah.
So they always complained about the people she had doing their hair. Mm-hmm. So they found this new lady, Anne-Marie, right?
Anne-Marie,
that's her name?
Yeah, she's West African. She did out of her home.
She was amazing, treated the girls like so nice. Yeah. And of course, their hair always was amazing when she did their hair.
Yep. No, she was quick.
So, yeah, you finding her was a godsend. Oh, yeah. It really was for the girls. Yeah.
So she did end up becoming our person for several years.
Yeah.
Actually, they just graduated out of that since they're kind of more fluid now. And
yeah,
I think
yeah,
has,
yeah.
May have moved on. But
yeah.
Up until about a year ago, that was about 10 years.
That was like so. I kind of thought that was a little racist, kind of saying, well, hell, I'm trying to do her hair. There, their hair. Cause just because I was black.
Right.
Maybe I just unfairly took it the wrong way, but I don't think I did, knowing her for years now. I don't think I did.
You did not take it the wrong way. So, yeah. So back to, I guess, the original issue that we started with. So I think we kind of agree that, number one, we're not on the train, which I know some people are, which is non-black folks should not adopt black children.
Yeah, I know a lot of people are on that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
So, and so there's other videos going around in response, again, to this original TikTok video.
Yeah.
The one where the LLWS Anderson says, you know, why do white people adopt black children? They cut it there, and they come off on two sides. One is, and I've seen a few black men in particular stitching this, who are saying, well, you know, why y'all give up your children? You know, why are there so many children, black children up for adoption? Which, of course, that's so short-sighted because there aren't more black children than white children.
Why is that the caveat? Why is that the question?
Well, because they come to it from a very skewed perspective.
Oh,
and the one, I think some of these guys, and I say black men, there's also been some white men who I've seen who do. They put that like the burden and the onus on, well, if y'all don't give up your children, they wouldn't be available to give up. Or, you know, why there's so many black children.
Listen, we are not here to tell you about giving up children or whatever. I honestly respect people that give their children up for adoption because they immediately realize they can't give them the love and care that they deserve.
Yeah.
I respect that choice to do that. Sure. I am not here to bash anybody for giving their kids up for adoption.
Well, and I guess the one thing I want to interject so the internet doesn't think we glossed over it. Let's be clear about a couple things. Number one, the adoption process in America is totally fucked. It's awful.
Yeah.
And there are, you know, I told you, like, when we were first getting into the adoption game, and we got into the adoption game for selfish reasons, which is because we wanted to have a child. Mm-hmm. She specifically wanted to have a girl.
Mm-hmm.
We together didn't want to be pregnant again. So this was the best option. So, but the adoption process in America is horrible. We had a good experience. We were very fortunate. So there's a couple of things that I want to make sure to highlight so that folks don't think we don't recognize these things. So, and I think I told you this, when we first looked at adoption, we knew we were probably going to do CPS because that seemed to be the cheapest option and that was important to us in this regard.
Mm-hmm.
But when I went to some of these adoption agencies back in the day, so we're talking again around 2003, there were adoption agencies where you could look and they would actually have prices for different races of kids.
Prices.
I think that, yes, I'm almost, yes. So the numbers that I recall at this, I don't remember what the agency was. It was a private, like, I'm sure faith-based.
Oh, this is through an agency.
Agency, which I think was a faith-based
agency. So you
agency.
Pay more for a white baby.
$20,000 for a healthy white baby.
Wow.
$15,000 for a healthy Hispanic baby. And $12,000 for a healthy black baby.
Wow.
So they're basically, it's like a supply and demand and racist approach to children and parenting. So that's horrible.
That's awful.
It's awful and it's gross.
Yeah.
And the other issue I think, you know, we need to at least give voice to is that in America, in Texas for sure, but I think in America in general, a lot of black and brown parents have their children removed for reasons that are not fair.
Oh, for sure.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
When you hear, you know, there's so many black children up for adoption, so many Hispanic children up for adoption, you know, one of the things that should go through your mind is, should that child have even been removed? Would that child have been removed if they were white?
That just goes back to the racist aspect that we were talking about earlier. Right. Yeah, and absolutely. So,
and I also, like, again, with my children, I know the entire backstory.
Yeah.
And I'm, I don't know if I'm happy to say, I guess it's better than the alternative.
Yeah.
But they weren't removed for frivolous reasons. There was some shit going down at this house.
Right. They needed to be removed
these
from
folks,
those houses.
If you knew what was going on, and I'm not here to bash them. You know, we've since met these folks, the biological mom and dad. They're not bad people, but they were definitely in a space. I'm not going to share their story, but I'm confident and comfortable in saying both of these kids, my kids, were removed from the biological parents for valid reasons.
For valid reasons, absolutely.
Yeah, there was stuff going on that was not acceptable.
Yeah, it was not safe for them.
So, but I think these are two really important issues that, when we think about adoption, especially transracial adoption, we need to recognize those things and give voice to those things because the system is awful.
Yeah.
CPS in Texas is awful.
Yeah.
Texas is awful when it comes to taking care of children in general and certainly non-white children.
Yeah.
So recognize that. That's not the point really of our discussion here today, but I didn't want to gloss over that and not give it voice.
Right. No, that's fair. I just think you can't ignore the fact if you're adopting black kids, I think that's amazing, especially if you're adopting them for the right reason, right? But you also have to realize what comes with that. So even to switch that, if we were going to adopt an Asian baby,
right,
I would have to like try to know like what I need to teach them. Mm-hmm. Like what, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like even down, we're talking about doing their hair. I don't know how to do hair like that. You know what I mean? Of course, let's be real. I wouldn't be doing their hair if you just heard what I said about hair. Rob would be doing their hair. But anyway, I digress.
In fairness, their hair seems like it might be easier, though.
It might be easier. But I'm just saying, I would not, I would feel bad if I didn't teach them about you know, their heritage and things like that and their culture.
Right.
I think those things are very important and you can't just ignore those.
Right.
And I think a lot of people, you know, sometimes when white people adopt black kids, they just think, I'm just gonna treat them like I do my other kids. They're not different. But the fact is they are.
Well,
in America, they are.
Right. I think just one last thing I want to say about adoption, which you reminded me when you said, you know, adopting black kids is great. And I know what you mean by that.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to, again, set the record straight on one other thing, which is that oftentimes when people hear from me that my daughters are adopted, we get a lot of this, it's all positive. Like, oh my God, you're so great. That's so awesome.
Like you're the savior.
Yeah.
White savior?
Well, either way, just to say, because I think they say that probably about people who adopt in general,
mm-hmm.
but I've, you know, maybe it's more to them if it's...
But I think unfairly some people do look at it as right. a white savior type of thing.
Oh, sure,
right?
Sure. Which is, I guess, in part why I'm so self-conscious about putting out there our motivation and the process we went through.
Right, right.
But also, like, I am a stern believer that 90% of adoptive parents, including myself and my ex, don't deserve that kind of praise. And,
yeah.
and I don't mean that in a self-deprecating way. I firmly believe this, that we, like most folks, adopted for selfish reasons. We
yeah.
wanted another child. She really wanted a girl. We did the whole, you know, 0 to 2 female was
mm-hmm.
our goal.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that for selfish reasons because that served what we wanted to do.
Right.
Now, if the byproduct of that is that these kids grow up in a more stable environment, which Lord knows it wasn't perfect.
Right.
But I do think, you know.
No household is perfect.
No. But most people who adopt don't deserve that sort of praise.
Yeah.
Because you're not a hero. You're fulfilling yeah. a selfish need through a yeah. process that makes sense.
Well, because y'all wanted a girl.
Right.
And you didn't
right.
want to have to go through right. carrying that and going through,
right.
like, hope, you know, birthing
right.
a girl.
Right. Because I think there is a whole other category for folks who take the HIV babies, the feeding tube babies, the ones with serious health issues that need constant care. Those people are heroes.
Oh, yeah. They're heroes, for sure.
Yeah.
Or, I absolutely believe that.
Right.
Yeah.
And
if
I think,
you're adopting kids and you're like, I don't care what kind of medical needs they
right.
have. If you're in a position to say that
right.
and be like, it doesn't matter what medical right. needs they have. We can
right.
pay for it. We can,
right.
we can afford
right.
it. Like, man, those people definitely deserve praise.
Right. And I think the other group that do are when family members step in.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
They weren't trying to adopt
yeah.
a brother or a cousin passed or
right.
something like that.
Right,
and like
right,
they
get, right.
They agree. It was never the plan.
Mm-hmm.
But they agree, you know what? I guess I'm the best option.
They're
we'll
here
step
now.
In and do that.
Yeah.
And again, I think that's a different category because that
course.
Was never a selfish plan.
Absolutely.
That was a selfless response
yeah.
to a terrible
yeah.
situation.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
I said that was the last thing I was going to say. The other thing I want to just, because we're on adoption, this is really important to me. We also shouldn't just glamorize adoption like, oh my God, it's so great these kids landed in this situation. Because
yeah.
we need to remember that adoption is entirely based on some sort of tragedy or horrible situation.
Right.
This is not how it's supposed to go.
Right, right.
Like if a kid is up for adoption because something horrible and unexpected and wrong took place.
Yeah.
And that's the only reason they're up for adoption. So like
yeah.
this whole like glamorizing all these positivities
yeah.
around this displacement and this loss that this child, whether they're aware of it or not,
mm-hmm.
that this child is enduring.
Yeah.
It's just short-sighted. So
yeah.
I just want to say that because adoption is complicated.
It's not complicated.
It's not unicorns and rainbows.
And also, like, I don't think, like, a lot of foster parents get the praise that they should have
yeah.
because we've heard about so many, like, bad
sure.
foster parents. But just like anything else, there's good people and bad people, right?
Right.
But there are a lot of good foster parents out there. Like,
right.
I think you said Casey had
foster
mother. She had amazing foster mother.
And,
so
yeah.
I think foster parents, like, I remember one of my dental hygienists that I used to have. She opened up her home to foster kids. And I want to say she had like 3 or 4 of her own, like her own as she birthed these babies. Right. And then this lady took in like 5 foster kids and she was just in a position. Her husband had an amazing job.
Mm-hmm.
She was a hygienist. But she, if you talk to her, you know that this lady is like born to take care of kids.
Yeah.
Like she's so sweet, so nice. And I'm telling you, she talked about those foster kids as if they were her own.
Yeah, yeah.
So you need people like that. So
right.
shout out to people who do that too, because
right.
you don't have to.
Right. No, and then you're right. Jan is the name of Casey's foster mom. She had her for about 18 months. Jan was great. Yeah, so her husband
yeah.
had a good job. He was an engineer.
Yeah.
And Jan loved babies.
And that's amazing, because it's like you're just providing care and love
yeah.
and shelter for them. But these kids could get adopted tomorrow.
Right. Right. Well, and that's Jan had over the years, I may have the numbers wrong, but something like 80 or 90
yeah.
foster kids, all babies.
Wow.
Now,
yeah.
some of these stayed for a weekend or a month
yeah.
or
yeah.
a week. And she had, I guess, a handful, including Casey, like 4 or 5 that stayed
mm-hmm.
for like a year plus.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
this was just something, that was like what she did. She cared for babies.
No, but I think that's amazing because
yeah.
I think there are people out there who just provide amazing homes for these kids. Yeah. And all they want to do is just take care of these babies. Yeah.
And they get, you know, they get a stipend or something, but that's,
yeah, that but, is not. I mean, not, their stipend is not like worth taking in all these kids. No, no. Those of us who know how rough it is to take care of kids, yeah. like, it's like, I don't know. I don't even know if I can think of an amount of dollar amount that would make it worth it for me.
No, no. God bless them. No, but you're
absolutely God bless them, though. But we yeah. do need people like that. So yeah. I just wanted to give a shout out to people yeah. who do that kind of, who do that and
yeah.
love it.
Yeah.
Like, I just, I think that's amazing.
Yeah. No, agreed. Well, I think on that note, we can wind it down, babe.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, thanks for tuning in.
And I think this was a great topic, babe.
Yeah. And no, I think we each bring such a unique and I think, you know, important perspective to
yeah.
this. And
yeah.
it doesn't mean, and I don't think we disagree on much,
yeah.
but,
yeah.
you know, it's fine to have different perspectives, but
absolutely.
I think,
and thank you to the creators that we like shouted out. Yeah. Yeah. You know, hopefully we didn't step on any toes or whatever. Yeah. You know, we like all of you guys. I think this was just a great topic, and
yeah.
I don't think we actually said that anybody was wrong,
no.
so to speak. But no. we just wanted to shed our opinions on it.
Yeah, I mean, I think with Michael Chandler, that UFC fighter, we definitely did voice concerns about if
we
this
did.
Is really
we
how
did.
He's doing this.
Yeah,
then
but I also brought up that we don't know what he's teaching his boys behind closed doors. So he may actually be telling them about black issues. I hope he is.
Yeah.
I would put that in and say I hope he is.
Yeah, well, he needs to. I think
yeah.
we can land on that. That
yeah.
if, you know, whatever his motivation for making those comments.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would disagree with living in that space and raising your kids like that.
Yeah.
And hopefully he's open to learning and growing and moving
so.
In a different direction.
I hope so, for his
yeah,
kids' sake.
For sure.
Yeah. So I guess that's it.
All right.
All right. Tune in for our next episode. Thank you guys for listening in, and cheers, babe.
Cheers, baby.
Thank you for listening. Take a sip.
Thanks, guys.